I'll be taking all the chapter, but we'll be focusing on the first 15 verses of the chapter today, and next week I'll do the second part of it. You might be thinking, why is Pastor doing so many series and that? You know, the Lord has been telling me that I should take my time in teaching his word. And so I am not in a rush to just brush through the scriptures and move on with you guys. As your resident pastor here, when I'm taking a passage, I want to take time and really do justice to it. It is my purpose and it's part of my prayer that we will grow seriously and immensely in drawing closer to God and really being in a position to possess our inheritance and our calling and to operate in the gifting and the abilities that God intends for all of us. And in the past few weeks, God has been speaking to me about character. And so you find that I have been doing different teachings on character, attitude, and behavior. The child of God today must begin to really reflect on his or her relationship with God in such a way that the relationship is very authentic, very core to them, and very important to them. Because it is easy for us in these days of grace to run on the subject of grace and to think that it is okay to live our life anyhow, but really do not honor God. And so I'm going to call on Sister Olivia. Sister Olivia is going to read Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 15 for us. And when she finishes reading, we will pray and then go into our sermon. God bless you, Sister Olivia.
Genesis 18, verses 1 to 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. And he then brought some curds and milk in the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening to them at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh."
Shall we pray, please? Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you. In Jesus' name, we exalt you. In Jesus' name, we magnify you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are our God that loves us. We yield to you and we pray this morning that you will take absolute control of our time. I personally pray and say that by your spirit, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you, O Lord, will give me clarity of speech. You will give me clarity, O Lord Almighty, in understanding and in revelation and in knowledge. And I pray that you will speak to your children today. As you have taught me, we pray that you will touch us and teach us, Lord. Help us to get everything you want us to get from this passage today. And let your will be done in our life. We pray that we will leave from here prepared and ready to to live the life that you've called us to live. We bless you. Holy Spirit, we pray you will take absolute control of our time together. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Glory to God. We thank God. A few weeks ago, while I was speaking, and I was teaching on Psalm chapter 23, a few weeks ago, and I did tell you that there is a sermon I have called Position Yourself to Intercede. Position yourself to intercede. You see, in the past, or many of us have been taught that there is a way to pray. And it is true, there is a way to pray. But I'm not only tackling the way to pray. Next week, I will tackle the way to pray. But today, I want to make point of something that in as much as there is a way to pray, in as much as there is a way to go to God, in as much as there is a way to relate with God and all that, I am beginning to talk about our relationship today, our ways of which we relate with God. And there is no passage, better passage in the scriptures that help us to get this done, this incident that happened in the Bible. God, by his own grace, chose to visit Abraham. And when he visited Abraham, I want us to learn from this. When you look at the topic of your Bible, it will say the promise of Isaac. Other translation might put God visits Abraham. It's good. I want us to begin to study something. What we can get from this visit, this time that God visited Abraham. You see, for some reason, God in his own supernatural way, right from the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and there was a separation between human beings and God, God did not end there. God still tried many ways to reach human beings. And we see a new way that God wants to begin to relate with humans through Abraham. We know from the early passage of Genesis that God went to Abraham when Abraham was in his father's land, and he called him that he will bless him and he will make him out of him a great nation, and they will be called his people, and everywhere he goes, he will bless him. We see God making a decision from then to begin to walk with humans. And we see in the Old Testament that God did exactly that. Even though God was this supreme God, and God is still this supreme and awesome God and powerful God, he began by reaching out to human beings. It is really out of even relationship that God decided to create humans. And right from then, even though human beings had sinned and there was not a relationship, he was still making an effort to relate with human beings. But it does not end there. He comes to Abraham and he tells Abraham, I'm going to begin this relationship with you where I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to basically start a whole new way of connecting and relating with you. I'm going to come to humans, and you're going to also come to me, and we are going to relate. And so you find that right from then, when God made this initiative to come to Abraham, to come to human beings, to begin to relate with human beings this way, him coming to human beings, we human beings became hosts to God. God became someone that was always going to come and visit us and relate with us. God was always, because God's initial dwelling, God's ultimate place of dwelling is in heaven. The heavens is the Lord's throne, and the earth is his footstool. That's what the word of God tells us. And we all know through scripture, the heaven, in heaven, God, the Lord Jesus says that in heaven there are many mansions. And he tells us that he's going to heaven to go and prepare a place for us. And so we know that heaven is where God actually dwells. And God said in Joel that he's going to come to humans and relate to humans, dwell among humans on earth. And we all know from Genesis that God created humans and he placed them on this earth and he blessed them and he said that we should subdue the earth. And so he made here our place. We literally, by order of who God is, he has given us authority to rule affairs on this earth. We are supposed to be in charge on earth, human beings. Nothing else can come and take its place on this earth except a human being allow it. And so God begins this kind of relationship beginning to come to earth. Not in his own, obviously he created the world. He can just choose to come and live on this earth. But he knew he had given earth to humans. And so he would need a human being to allow him to do his stuff on this earth. And through that he came to Abraham. And God right from then, since, has begun to become our most important guest on this earth. And through this, Jesus came to this earth to die. Jesus came to die, and the Lord God has promised that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, and he will live on this earth. So you find that God has taken a position of coming to dwell with humans, and today I want to begin to draw our attention to the fact that we are not just humans, and there is God, and the relationship is like that. We are also hosts to God. Can you begin to imagine being a host to God? Can you begin to see yourself being a host to God, hosting God, this ultimate creator, your maker, your God that has chosen to humble himself to become your guest? And so you see in this passage here that Abraham, the writer is saying that, is sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Basically, when in the desert, when they say in the heat of the day, basically at the peak of when the sun is up and you really don't want to be out in the sun. So he's sitting at the entrance to his tent, relaxing and resting. Abraham is relaxing. I'm tired. I'm relaxing. You are probably in your living room sitting there relaxing. You can begin to imagine this. And someone knocks on your door. But in the case of Abraham, it's not just knocking on the door. He's sitting there resting. It was very hot. You don't want to be out in the sun. And don't forget, Abraham is at this point a very old man. And so he's sitting at the door of his tent and he sees three men appear. The writer says, then the Lord appeared to him by the trees. The Lord appeared to him by the trees. You see, I have already gone a little bit into God appearing to him. But throughout the scriptures, you find that a lot of people say it was Jesus Christ. And I choose to personally believe that it is Jesus Christ. Why are we saying that? Because in John, the word of God says that no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So John chapter 1 verse 18 points to this. So and also God told Moses that no one can see him and live. And so we know that it wasn't God the Father appearing to Abraham then. It was literally Jesus Christ that appeared before before his birth and everything, appearing to Jesus. Because if it was any other God, it wouldn't have been accepted that way. So God appears. Jesus appears with three men. And Abraham is sitting there and he sees this man. He sees this man. Don't forget, Abraham is resting at this moment. It was very hot. The sun is scorching. Probably the time when you don't want to do too much because you might sweat and you might lose your water and you need more water. So Abraham is resting. Abraham is resting. And behold, these three men were standing there. They came. God came to Abraham. God came to Abraham. And we see here, Abraham is still resting and God is standing there. And the writer says that he ran from the tent door to meet them. Abraham, right from when he saw these people, got up with some urgency and he ran to meet them. He literally approached them by bowing down and worshiping this Lord. You remember last week I talked about the position that the beggar came approaching Jesus, bowing to Jesus and submitting to Jesus's lordship. And in the same way, we see Abraham. Let me go back a little bit. Abraham at this point is at the peak of his whoever he is. He's a very rich man. He's a very don't mess around guy. Like all the other people there know that Abraham is blessed. He's anointed. He's very powerful. He has men in his home who can fight. He has servants. Abraham is a successful man. And he's sitting at his door and he sees this Lord and the three standing there. And Abraham gets up. He ran to meet them, bowing to them. But there was this particular one that the writer says, he bowed and he called him Lord. He bowed and he called him Lord. Other translations, how did Abraham say, other people battle over this, how did Abraham even know that that was the Lord to bow to him like that and address him as Lord? It is simple. The word of God says that God had appeared to Abraham a few times, two times already, before this moment. And so, if it was the same God that appeared to Abraham, he knows that that's the person. I, from my own personal experience, when I have prayed and I have spent time with God so many times, I, from my own personal experience, knows when the Holy Spirit is strongly present in a place and when the Lord Jesus appears. I can tell the difference. When the Lord Jesus himself is here, you can feel. And when the Holy Spirit is also present, you can feel the difference. You know the difference by relation. And so Abraham had been relating with this Lord for a long time. This is years of relationship. And then suddenly, he's standing in front of him. And so he recognizes that this is the Lord. And he gets up, approaching him and bowing to him. Lord. See, this should tell the child of God something. I'm speaking on the subject, position yourself to intercede. We have to begin positioning ourselves to be intercessors. But how do I do this? The first point is here. Abraham humbled himself to God. The child of God that wants to be heard by God needs to begin to humble himself and reverence God. You see, Abraham didn't have to get out of his tent in the hot of the day, in the hot of the period. He didn't have to rise. He could have sat down. These people are coming. Let them come. After all, I'm sitting in my house. You came. You come in and tell me what you want, and I will do what you want for you if I want to. But no, not like that with Abraham. As he saw the people approach, they stand, as he saw them, he got up with urgency and he went to them. Lord, as he was going, still bowing, Lord, worshiping, submitting himself to the leadership and the authority that is upon this person. Let us even take it that Abraham had never seen this Lord and did not know who this person is. As the Hebrew writer says, that even people like Abraham had been good hosts to the extent that they have hosted angels. And so let's take it that Abraham didn't know anything about this God. But the moment he saw this God coming, he saw this human being appear, he humbled himself and he went submitting to whoever the person is. This is something you and I must begin to learn from. We need to begin to reverence God. We need to begin to reverence God. We need to begin to reverence this Lord Jesus Christ that we talk about. Because, you know, many of us know the Jesus that is written here. The Bible Jesus. The one that came to this earth and walked about. You know, we read it, we see it, and we see it as stories. And have not really come to this place in our relationship with him, or in our searching of him, or in our knowing of him, that this is a Lord that has a great authority, that carries a great power and authority that we need to submit to. And so we see him as a savior, we see him as another prophet, but many in this world have not begun to reverence him, have not begun to magnify him, exalt him, and really give him the honor that is due him. This morning, we were studying downstairs of how believers, through the book of John, God himself authenticated Jesus Christ. Jesus told the Father, glorify yourself. And the Father spoke out at that moment, and he told him, I have already glorified you. I have done it. We also see in scripture that Jesus Christ, when he was baptized and he was put in the water and he came out, the Father spoke from heaven. The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested on Jesus. And the Father spoke, this is my son in whom I'm much pleased. And so we have to begin to see that this Jesus is really the great deal, the big deal, the big puzzle to relating with God. And if he has come to dwell with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, we need to begin to reverence him. And so the way we see our relationship with God, if we begin to see that he is a supernatural God and he is a supernatural authority and powerful and he is our guest, you and I begin to treat him differently. It doesn't matter whether you are a youth in school. It doesn't matter whether you are an adult waiting to pass away and go to your glorious Father. It doesn't matter whether you are some big dude from your workplace or from whatever. Whoever you are, you can begin to reverence this God. Give him the honor that is due him. Exalt him and magnify him like Abraham. He was a man that had achieved the law. He has reached his potential, but yet still, when he saw these people, he got up. The question is, are we getting up? Are we getting up? Do we have an attitude of reverencing God? When in our decisions, the things that we do, when we want to do things, do we see that this God is holy? This God is righteous? This God wants to have nothing to do with sin? How do we reverence God? How do we see God? And so, do we take our relationship with God casual? And do we understand that the Holy Spirit is in our life and we cannot take him casually? God's presence in our life must be very important to us. We must see it as the thing, the all. King David saw this. And so when he sinned against God and he went to God, he pleaded with God, you can take everything from me, but do not take away your presence from me. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God in doing everything. And the way we begin to treat the Holy Spirit will make him feel comfortable around us or not. And so we see from the first step here, if I want to become that person that really have a certain standing with God, that can really begin to pray about things, that can really begin to find favor with God, I need to begin to reverence in him. I need to begin to reverence him. I need to begin to exalt him. I need to begin to humble myself to him, bow to him. Many of us are not in that place. Many of us are not in that place. We have not come to that decision of bowing to God, giving him our totality and leaving our totality before him. For some reason, something is telling us, you can't give your all to this God. Something else is important to us. Well, how do we feel when we hear the name God? How do we feel when we hear Jesus? What happens in us? Do we tremble when we have to sin? When we're making our decisions, do we make them casually and think, oh, we'll go to God later? How? What place does Jesus serve in your life? Because Abraham didn't feel it was comfortable to sit down and wait for him to come. Abraham got up. And many of us are very comfortable being the people we are. I am comfortable in my sin. I am comfortable in my, whatever you do, in your private comfortable homes. I am comfortable in watching my movies. I am comfortable in spending my nights with this girl that I'm not married with. I am comfortable with my bottle that is hidden in that cupboard there. When pastor is coming, we make sure we lock that cupboard. Oh, that guy will come and open this. Let me lock it. I don't want him to see it. Abraham didn't be comfortable there. And we can begin not to be comfortable because this God is constantly reaching out to us. This God is constantly reaching out. I want to relate with you. You can host him better. Begin to see him as all. Don't let something be important to you than this God. And you see, it wasn't just enough for Abraham to just approach him. Don't forget, it's three people. And the word of God says he approached him, he addressed the leader, but yet still he says, come to me in verse 3. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Then the verse 4, he says, let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. You may all. That is the point I want to touch on. There was the leader, clearly pointed in the passage, and he had two people with him. But so long as they were connected to this leader, he gave them maximum treatment. He treated them equally. He showed respect to the leader, but he wasn't going to wash the master's feet and leave the rest. It was a normal thing that they used to do. It was part of their culture. When guests come, because they had been in the desert, their feet might have been dirty. And so you wash their feet and then you invite them in. It's just like these days when you come to some people's home. Like, for instance, in our house, we have hardwood floors. We spend a lot of money to keep it clean. And so when you're entering our house, I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy is coming in with this water on his feet. Like, my hardwood floor. I've been to somebody's house. He literally opened the door. He looked at me up and down and he said, take your shoes off. And I'm like, hello, I haven't even stepped into your house. You're telling me to take my shoes off? It's like that. Those days, It's like that. When people come to your house, you want them to, you want to wash their feet, wash the dust off their feet, then they can come into your house. And you know, those times they used expensive cloths on their floor, like the rugs that we use these days. Some rugs are expensive. Because we're moving, we're looking at prices of things. And I'm like, man, people spend this amount of money on these things. You know, I haven't had to buy these things for a long time. And I'm looking at the prices, I'm like, hello? People spend this much on these things, things that we would die and go away, the things that will even decay, will lose their quality. People spend so much money on them. And so that's what's happening here. And so it was a normal thing for him to wash their feet. But he didn't just choose to wash the leader's feet. He chose to wash the servant's feet. What is Pastor Barnes trying to say here? You can't say you love Jesus and not love the church. You can't say you love Jesus and not love the church. The church is the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you accept Jesus, you accept all of them. You accept every person that has accepted the Lord Jesus as his Lord and his Savior and his Master. And you see, this should go to how we treat ourselves, fellow believers. We have to begin to treat Christians with respect, with humility, with love. The same love that we declare that we love God. We spend hours in prayer. I love Jesus. You study your Bible. I love Jesus. And then when you come here, you are the one gossiping about your brother. You are the one hating your brother. You are the one doing all sorts of evil things to fellow Christians. No. You can't love the church. You can't love Jesus and not love the church. The fellow people that came with Jesus, Abraham treated them equally. And so, when you're a child of God and you want to be favored by God, you love Jesus, you love God, but hey, yet still, you got to begin to love Christians. You see, the word of God teaches us that we need to be people that respect people regardless, that love people regardless. But in this case, it is not just about, oh, I love everybody. You need to really begin to get the picture that me and you, we are brothers, and we need to treat ourselves equally and treat one another with respect. And when it comes to how you are dealing with believers, how you are treating fellow believers, you need to be very careful. Husbands here, begin to observe how you are treating your wives. Wives, begin to think of how you are treating your fellow husbands. Hey, father and your husbands. Now, father and mother, begin to consider how you're treating your children. You gave birth to them, but remember, they have accepted the Lord Jesus. They are special. They are children of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are children of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want favor with God? You treat people that are connected with him with respect. Jesus said in the word of God, "You did not feed me. Because I came to you hungry and you did not give me food to eat. I came to you thirsty and you did not give me water to drink. Because you did not do this for the poor." For the poor. And so the child of God that wants to be in a position of really being in a position of being listened to, finding favor with God, you need to begin to really consider your ways towards people in need. Not that, just that. If you remember, Jesus told Peter before he left this earth. Peter had been bragging and following Jesus and bragging, "Jesus, I love you, I love you." God literally revealed who Jesus was through through Peter. And he gets the opportunity and he denies Jesus. Jesus, he repents and Jesus resurrects and he sends a message directly. And Peter, tell Peter that I'll meet them. And so Peter comes and he meets Jesus. They are gone on and probably he had really reconciled. Others say that that was when Peter was reinstated as a prophet, as an apostle. But look at what happens here. Jesus is about to leave and he gets into a conversation with Peter and he asks Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, I love you." And then Jesus asks again, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, I love you." And then the third time, "Peter, do you love me?" I'm sure by now Peter is getting upset and offended that, "Man, Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Then feed my sheep." Feed my sheep. If your relationship, if you're claiming you love this God, and you are a child of God that is not about feeding the sheep of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are missing the mark. These three came with Jesus. These three came. And Abraham did not know who they were, where they were coming from. I personally know that he saw the Lord. But so long as the three were with the Lord, he had to treat them equally. And you and I must begin to really play our role in being a blessing to the people of God. Jesus wants us to do this. And if you are looking at becoming that person that God comes to and spend time with and enjoys your presence, love the church. I'm not saying love this building. No. Believers. And ask yourself, what role do I play? What can I do to be a blessing to the people of God? Many of us have gifts here. We have abilities here. We have so much that we are not using to bless God. And there is so much need in this house. There is so much need in this community. You know our vision. You know our mission statement. We want to reach our community. And it's only a few people here who are committed to this call. Who are committed to this call. And we need help in many different ways. We need help in many different ways. But it didn't only end there. He ran. When you look at 6 to 8, Abraham hurried into the tent. He took some flour and he went to his wife. "Take this. Prepare some food." Abraham did this. And then he went into his farm. He looked around, took one of the tender calves, gave it to a servant. "Go and prepare something." Do you realize what is happening here? Right from when he set his eye on these people, everything had changed. There is helter scatter in Abraham's home. And guess what? His wife is cooking. His wife must have been very old by then. They have so many servants. Why is he taking flour? Fine flour. As a matter of fact, he didn't only just take any flour. He looked for fine flour, the smoothest flour. And he gave it to his wife. He made sure that his wife went to prepare. Maybe he might have known that his wife has his way. Like in our house, for instance. I cook. I'm the main person cooking all the time because of my flexibility in my time. Jumi works. Her hours are very off. And that she's normally not at home in the night. And so when I get home, I just do my manly thing and put something on the table. But you know what? When Jumi gets the time on a weekend and cooks spaghetti bolognese, oh my God, you should come and taste. So Jumi is really the boss of cooking, but I know her, all the house, we all know that her spaghetti bolognese is the top notch in the house. I can cook it, but when I cook it, nothing. And so now the guests have come, and probably Abraham knows that let's say, for instance, you're coming to my house. I know I can cook spaghetti bolognese, but I say, no. These ones are special. So Jumi has to do this. And so I take the meat and everything. I say, "Babe, can you prepare your spaghetti bolognese for these guests who have come?" And Jumi takes care of that. Maybe that is what's happening here. But do you see, right from when Abraham set his eye on these people, there is helter-skelter. He is not sitting there giving the orders. He is involved in this. You and I must begin to be involved in serving God. Don't leave it to the pastor to be the one doing the prayer and be the one doing the evangelism and be the one doing the studying and teaching. Oh, some of us are really letting pastors drain out. And I know some pastors also need to allow people to do work. Yeah, it goes both ways. But what I'm trying to say is, don't leave the work of the ministry to a few people to do it. And then you say you are part of the ministry, you are a servant of God. I like it when people brag and talk plenty, and they are really not adding to any part of the kingdom. No. Abraham, at this moment, could be giving orders and be telling people what to do, but Abraham is not giving orders and telling people what to do. And some of you are literally very good. Oh, why is the pastor, since he came, why is that cross over there? Why is this there? No. I'm leaving. If you have ideas, why don't you come and sit down and begin to talk to me and encourage me and show me how to do them? Some of us know than our pastors, but yesterday we are sitting there, we criticize, and then we leave the church. We have become critics. Abraham was not sitting there and criticizing his servant. Look at some grain of rice. No. Go and take the other one. No. Abraham is involved here. This one is special. And we need to begin to understand that this Lord is special. This Jesus Christ is special. And the way we treat him, the way we worship him, the way we act towards him, the way we do everything must begin to be special. Special. The Holy Spirit is special. And the way you treat him must be special. The giftings and the abilities, everything you have, he wants to use. And so you have to really allow yourself to be used by the Holy Spirit. Get involved somehow. Get involved. And let it be about Jesus. Do not let it be, oh, Pastor Barnes is watching, so I'm going to do something. No. It has to be a principle that you have. That whether Pastor Barnes sees you or not, you are going to serve regardless. You are going to give your best because you are doing it unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what he did. The fine flower, my wife must do it. Maybe in the entire visitors and in the entire servants who are there, there is not nobody that can cook the bread like he wants it. So his wife had to do it. Even his wife must get involved. Are you involved in reverencing Jesus? Are you involved in giving him your totality? Are they supposed to be doing it for you? You see, the Holy Spirit wants to use you. You have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to get up. You have to be willing to do the prayer. You see, I said, position yourself to intercede. Yeah? How is God going to use you if you don't open your mouth to pray? If you don't get up? And I tell you, it's not easy. Sometimes you really want to sleep at night. And then God will be moving in your heart. Oh, and then you'll be lying there thinking about all sorts of things. Oh, why don't they? You got to get up and pray. We are not involved in the prayer. We are not involved in anything. We don't do anything, but yet still we want it to be a certain way. He didn't just take a flower. He went to the farm and he got the calf. He wanted the food to be quick. You know, cooking a calf is not easy food. You have to go through a process of cooking it and doing it well. But he chose a tender one. The meat will be tender. It will be easy to cook it fast so that the guest can eat it. It wasn't normal to take the calf, the younger one, and kill it. You want to keep the younger ones who will grow and multiply. But he did that. He gave his best, what he can give. You and I, we need to begin to assess ourselves. We have so many things we are telling God. We want to be these people who can call fire from heaven. We are praying for people in our families. There are people, there are so many things we are praying. We probably are even praying that President Trump will become a Christian or will become whatever. We pray about all sorts of things. But yet still, we haven't taken up a posture of really gaining favor from God. So, who are you to be talking plenty and going on? And so what happens? You talk and there is no action. You talk and there is no action. You don't have favor with God. I'm not saying and pointing myself. I'm equally so. The Lord has been talking to me to begin to assess myself. If I really want to break the ground, if I really want to be this church to become the church that He wants it to be, the things that He has shown me that this ministry can become, if I really want our vision and the mission statement to be fulfilled, there are certain things I need to begin to do. I need to be willing. I need to really break myself and set myself apart from myself and not be comfortable in myself. And the Lord is teaching me about these things. But you see, I cannot be the only one learning and working on these things. You and I, we must all begin to work on ourselves. At the end of the day, we have to be a Christian that is acceptable before the Father. And many of us these days are not living a life that is acceptable before the Father. And so when we are supposed to really be commanding things into being, we are rather always praying and asking for forgiveness. We spend a lot of time repenting when we are supposed to be commanding situations to change because we do not carry favor. When we are so, and so the Christian of today must begin to really shape their life. We must begin to be reshaped. We must begin to go through a process of really pruning ourselves of the unrighteous things. But we need to understand that the Lord has not left us to be able to do this on our own might or merits. By His grace, what's He doing? He has come to us as our guest. I am hosting the Holy Spirit, who is supposed to help me. That's how my life is supposed to be. You are hosting the Holy Spirit, who is supposed to help you. You have to begin to treat Him with reverence. You have to begin to allow Him to take over you and use you. You have to really be willing to be involved. Ask yourself, how do I treat the people of God? How do I treat my fellow brother and sister in the Lord? Do I love Jesus? Do I love Christians? God bless you. I'm going to end it here. And I'll continue next week.